to Two Girls with Grief podcast. We're your hosts, Kendall
and Rachel.
The podcast where we talk about our experiences with grief. There might be tears and there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time.
We aren't professionals, we're just professional grievers. This podcast is for those dealing with grief, those who want support dealing with grief, and those who just want to learn. For any potential triggers, please check the show notes prior to listening. Without further ado, welcome to our third episode, Grief Sucks, Now What? Find Your Purpose. In this episode, we talk about if you should or if you can find your purpose through grief.
So, Rachel, as we kick off every episode, where are you today with your grief?
I think today I feel really good. I feel like really light. Yesterday, if people are familiar, we're both members of the dinner party where we meet bi-weekly and we have sessions. So last night was a session. So I feel like after that, I always feel a little bit lighter. It's nice to just kind of like unload your grief to other people that get it. And I think after each session, I mean, I think there's always usually tears involved. And afterwards, I always feel just like a lot lighter. Like my chest feels lighter. Everything feels a little bit better. So I'd say right now I feel really good. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. There's something about the dinner party where it's like cathartic in that grief and being able to connect with other people and have those same experiences and be like, oh, I'm not crazy for thinking this or feeling that. I'm feeling a little like, I guess, wistful and kind of like a little bit morose. There's just been like a lot of life changes and a lot of big decisions coming up. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I wish I could ask my dad, like, what should I do and what advice he would have for me. And it's one of those things where it's like, it hurts my heart not to have someone to go to and be like, what do you think I should do? I'm sure you have that feeling a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what I do talk to them like out loud sometimes and try to like feel like it is like they're there. And
yeah,
I feel like try to see like signs. I feel like people do that often where they're like, show me a sign. And some people ask for clear signs. Yeah. I don't think I've ever asked for like a super, super clear sign of like, I don't know, something that you can't refute. I haven't asked for that. Maybe like I don't want to. Yeah. Like I just, you know, you want to accept a sign if you see a sign. But yeah, it's definitely hard when all the people you want to ask things for and value their opinion are just not around. So you kind of have to go with your gut and figure out, I feel like this is what they want, but you kind of have to decide on your own. But look out for signs. Any sign you want. I think we take the signs if you want. And so that kind of goes into what we always do is like, what are our qualifications to talk about this and this topic in particular? So my qualifications to talk about grief and purpose is I would say that my whole life and what I value and purpose has changed through grief. Mm-hmm. So I would say, I mean, when you lose both your parents and your sister, you lose a lot and
for sure,
you think changes a lot. That is my qualifications, that I feel like I have been finding my purpose through grief, but it's been a long road to get here. What about you, Kendall?
Yeah, kind of the same. When I would say before having a big loss in my life, I felt a little bit more like I had direction, although I think I could say, honestly, it wasn't purposeful direction and it wasn't meaningful direction. And it wasn't meaningful purpose in my life. And not that saying loss is ever a good thing to happen. It's not. It's such a detrimental experience for anybody who goes through that. You have to find us, like for me, I had to find something to find value in this. Otherwise, I think it would have like eaten me alive. And so, you know, now 4 years out, and it takes time. I think that's another thing. Like it takes time to explore all that and be like, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to the person I loved? And I think for me, it gave me a whole new purpose, like in life. I feel like I'm making more meaningful, intentional decisions and kind of like wanting to, even though I'm still very young, like trying to leave a legacy or leave a positive impact in the world where I wasn't thinking that way before. You know, I kind of talked a little bit about what does like before grief look like. So for you, what did that look like before like all the loss you've experienced?
I mean, we've talked about personally of just like that kind of loss of security. And
yeah.
I definitely think I just felt more free because it's like you have people to land on. So you feel more free to try different things. You feel more free to like try different ideas and bounce things off, because it's like you have somewhere to land if that doesn't work out. And yeah. that's such like a big thing. And I was the youngest child, you know, the baby of the family. So I very much was in that role. So it's just my life looked a lot more. I felt like I could say I was floating through life of like, you know, figuring things out as I go. And, you know, just always knowing that I had that support to like have that, have people to fall on. And whether it was emotional support, financial support, housing. So, you know, like actually a house to go back to. I had that. And that definitely changed that. That just changed. Everything about that has changed. And that's hard because, you know, where you could feel so carefree and about life and things in general, like that has changed just completely. It's nothing looks the same for that. What do you feel like your life looked like before losing your dad?
Yeah, I think a lot very similar to you. Like I also felt more free. I think I felt more independent. Like I was just doing a lot of things like by myself or with my friends. And I would say like I didn't notice at the time, but I think I was more selfish prior to the loss of my dad. I think I was just acting in like my own self-interest. And then with my dad's passing, like I noticed now like I had to take on more responsibility and I had to grow up a lot more. And I'm now responsible for people in a way that I wasn't before. So I think like when I had that sharp like flip, I could tell the distinction, but I think like prior to the loss, I didn't notice
that. Yeah, I definitely feel like I had so many of those things too. And I mean, yeah. I think it's, you know, it's kind of nice when you can kind of feel selfish when you don't have to worry about everything else going on. And it's almost, it feels like so silly to say like, oh, I feel bad for feeling selfish when so many of our situations, you have to be so selfless.
Right.
And it's like, you really need to think about yourself sometimes. And it's like, how I wish like I could have more of those moments where I think about myself during all of that. And it's just funny to think like, oh, I feel bad for being selfish when it's like, sometimes, you know what? It's okay. I really I feel like I've learned it's okay to be selfish because sometimes I'm like, I have given so much.
For sure.
I also need to think about myself and call me selfish. I mean, I still think we're both like good, kind, caring people. Yeah. So it's not like, don't want that to come across like horrible people. Even though I think we've discussed like sometimes we wish that we were not really, you know, kind of just a joke. But I think that's leads into kind of the next thing we want to talk about was what did you imagine your life would look like before everything? Like not how it was before, but what did you envision before losing your dad? Like, what did you think your life was going to look like at this time?
Yeah, when my dad got sick, it was at a very, like, critical time in my life. I was graduating college, and I had plans of moving away, finding a job in a big city. Like, that was the whole dream. And I had, like, this type A personality, and literally that weekend when I graduated, after that, I became a caregiver because just the circumstances that were happening and within my family. And so I felt like at 22, I started helping take care of my dad. And I was like, okay, well, I had to move back home, which I felt like I was like not succeeding in life anymore. I felt like all my friends are off doing cool things and they have these really cool jobs. And I had to completely redirect my life to become, you know, to like serve my father and his healthcare needs. And I don't regret that. I think that panned out the way I needed to. And looking back, like, I don't regret that in retrospect. But I think at the time when that was happening, I had very different visions for how I saw myself and the goals I wanted for myself and the dreams I wanted to achieve, for that to like come shattering down. And I had to like rewrite the whole plan of my life at that point to think, okay, well, I'm now a caregiver to my dad and I'm now in charge of like all this stuff for him. So it was quite drastic, I think, just in that point in my life. What about you? What were you like envisioning for your life?
I think that just like, well, first I feel like it just brings up the point of like, you really have to let go of what you envision your life should be, because you can get really, I'd say it's really depressing to think like, this is what my life, what I thought it was going to look like. And then you hit all these ages that you thought things were going to be different, and it's right. nothing like that. I think people can relate to that feeling even with not dealing with grief, but I think it's funny, not funny. Like, I feel like it was also a pivotal time for me where I remember I turned 25. So, like, I went to Catholic school, I was like, I'm going to be married at 25 and have kids. I, like, want to be a CEO. I want to be this, like, girl boss. Like, that's, like, all the things that, like, was just, like, very, you know, standard kind of thoughts in my head. But I remember at 25 was when I was like, this is when I'm going to figure out what I want to do. It was my golden year. I was like, I'm going to get a tattoo. I'm going to skydive. I'm going to quit this job I don't like. Like, I'm going to travel, all this stuff. Like, I was so set, like, this is how this is year going to turn out. And I did do a majority of those things. Like, I did quit my job. I did get a tattoo. I did skydive. I don't remember the other things. I was able to take one trip. But then that's also the year that my sister got diagnosed with lupus. And really everything from there changed. And I just remember, it's so weird because, like, I envision that time of everything's going to be great. Like, I'm 25. It's my golden year. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to actually take dating seriously now because I've always been, like, very just independent person.
Yeah.
I was like, all this is going to be great. And then it just was, 8 years of hell. Literally, it's just like, not that there wasn't good moments in between, but it's just crazy how much can change when you have this clear vision of, like, things are going to be great and I'm going to have this great life and I'm doing all these things that I want to do. And, like, none of it happened. And it turned out way worse than I thought it would ever be. Like, I just never would have thought, like, at 25, where I was, like, giddy, excited, like, all these different feelings, and I was proud of myself for, like, doing the things like skydiving and all this
right.
stuff. Like, I hate heights. Like, there's all the things that, like, I was like, I want to do at this age, and then it just all went to shit. And that's just not funny, but funny. It just, your world can just totally change. And like you said, like, when you thought you had to, like, you had to be back home, and you're kind of like, it's a time of my life, and then you just completely change courses because of your dad. And it's hard to think about, like, what you imagined everything to look like, and just, it doesn't look like that at all.
Right.
When you look at it now. And I think that's a hard thing, but also something you kind of have to make peace with.
Yeah. So, like, when you think about things that matter to you before grief, like, now that you've gone through loss, what doesn't matter to you anymore?
Definitely things like being a CEO, or, like, kind of moving up the corporate ladder, like, those things don't matter to me anymore. Like, I feel like I used to want that recognition of having certain titles and all this different stuff, and I realized, like, that really doesn't matter. Like, a good reminder is that my sister's celebration of life, you know, she had so many people come out for her celebration of life, and people flew in from, like, New York, LA, like, all around the country, really. I think some of people flew internationally, and she was so loved, and, like, so many people were there and telling stories about just how she made them feel and kind of their special friendships. And she had so many different, like, friend groups, and just as a good reminder, like, no one was talking about her career accomplishments, right? Like, people showed up because they loved her and because she was a good friend and she was a good person. I think that is something that I always have to keep reminding myself sometimes as well, because I think it's hard in society to not feel like you have to accomplish so many different things and kind of be at a certain place at a certain age. But it's always a good reminder for me to think about that and just think, like, she had so many people show up for her, and, like, that's really all you can ask for in a celebration of life, is that people generally love you and that they showed up for you when you needed them to. And I think that hopefully also inspires other people of, like, your life can be how you want it to be. You can figure that out, and, you know, things may change at a drop of a hat, and what you really were hyper-focused on really does not matter at the end of the day when you turn into ash. So that's just what I think about now. But what type of things don't matter to you anymore, like, have changed your mindset from grief?
Yeah, like, just even hearing your story about your sister's celebration of life, like, puts it really all into perspective that, like, I feel like we live in a world where it's, like, so cutthroat and so fast-paced. And I remember, like, being younger, and I was so ambitious. Like, that was the number one most important thing to me, was, like, to get all these accolades, to get all these awards, to, like, climb this ladder, a lot like you. It's really hard to confront that after you lose somebody, of, like, oh, wow, like doesn't matter as much as I thought it was. Like as much as everybody has told me that is so important to do. And like, of course, like I want to have a happy job and I want to make like a stable, living, right? Like I'm not asking to be a millionaire or anything, but like happiness became priority, like not burning myself out to do all this stuff anymore. I really had to like confront that within myself to be like, I was seeking for like peace in my life and just stability and calmness after, I'm sure what you felt like, a lot of like stress and uncertainty and fear and anxiety. And then I think that's one thing that like now I really prioritize and I really appreciate when I have that. And I recognize it now too, because I know what life was like to be so sad and to be so scared. And now I can recognize like when I'm in a moment of like, wow, life is really going good for me right now. And I need to appreciate that and not take that for granted.
That's such a good point. And I mean, definitely having family members pass away like 2 years apart, three different family members, like,
yeah,
you don't realize like how much just peace and calm you need. And like, yeah, for me specifically, it was like, at some point you're like, bad things need to stop happening. Like,
yeah,
this can't like, how long can we continue for this? And I think it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, the amount of fear and just like uncertainty during that time, it's like, it really makes you think about things differently because of that. Cause you're like, yeah, peace is so nice. And
yeah,
you don't want the chaos and the stress of just like climbing the corporate ladder. It's like, you just want happiness. And obviously it's like, you need money to survive and to thrive in any way, but it's, peace is a huge, huge valuable thing. I don't think people always see the value for it, but when you have your life burning up, then you'll appreciate peace when you finally get some time to do that. So that kind of like builds onto what we were going to talk about next is like, do you see the world in general differently? So not just like your career or like how you thought your life was going to turn out, but just like the world and just everything like different. Maybe you had like rose colored glasses, like what?
Yeah, I think in one retrospect, like 100%, my whole perspective on life and world and people has changed from when I lost my dad. And it's weird because like, I'm sure you feel this too. You can kind of clock when other people have lost somebody or they're grieving or they're in this like state. And I know you and I like call it like, it's a club, like it's a club. And you can kind of notice when other people have lost other people. And you can also notice when other people haven't lost people. And so when you haven't lost somebody, you don't realize like there's a whole kind of like underground world of people who are grieving. And then when you do go through that, you're part of this club and you're like, wow, there are like so many people who I interact with on a day-to-day basis who have lost somebody either recently or it's been a couple years. But you don't notice that when you haven't gone through that experience. In another way, like I see the world a lot differently is like this, like need to connect with nature and going outside. Like I didn't have that mentality before. I don't know what about that changed. I think it's like my dad was a green thumb and he loved being outdoors and he was just always like, he was always growing a garden. He was always just like doing weird stuff outside, like picking up sticks. Like he just loved being outdoors. And I didn't really have as much as that love or desire to be outside because I live in Texas and it's summer 9 months of the year. But after he passed, I found one of like the things that helped me through my grieving was like hiking and going out to nature and just looking at the life cycles that in nature. Like it's kind of this, kind of saw the world so differently. Like I now see like death and life are coexisting all the time in nature. And even throughout our seasons, you know, like you go through winter and everything dies, but then everything regrows again. And it's just perpetual. That's a cycle. And so I recognize that now. And that idea, I guess, brings me peace in that there will always be turmoil. There'll always be peace and comfort too. And it might not be as like, you know, distinct or what I want it to happen, but it's like they have to coexist. And I think you and I have talked about this too, of like, you know, when you're happiest now, there is a little bit of sadness with it. And in some ways, I'm happier now at things than I ever was before because I know what it's like to feel so sad. It's weird that those things can live simultaneously within you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, for sure, I feel like I definitely had rose-colored glasses because I was just like the youngest. It's like you just feel like, you know, you can fail freely. Someone's going to catch you. Someone will have your back. Someone will cheer you up if something happens. And the world definitely looks different when you know that is gone and that support system is gone and just all of those feelings. And I feel like I've always had kind of like entrepreneurial like ideas, and it was always nice to have that support of like my mom was the same way, my sister was. And so like having those people support me and like being able to talk to them about it was, it's always like so comforting. And so just seeing that is gone, and then, you know, I do appreciate nature as well. Yeah. And I think honestly I feel like being in the water, I said like one of my happiest places to be, not where all the sharks are swimming currently, but other bodies, safe bodies of water, you know, being in nature. I honestly just like cabins is like sitting in nature, and I think there's just something so calming about feeling just, I think, small in the big scheme of things. Yeah. And just hearing nature sounds, and it makes you appreciate nature a lot more. I know my brother is super naturey now where he wasn't before, and I don't know if that's his exact reasoning, but he definitely is a lot more naturey now. And you know, I feel like there's something peaceful. I honestly feel more connected to them somehow in nature as well. Like, yeah. It just feels like
me too.
Yeah, without the noise, without like Chardex everywhere, without the hustle and bustle, like it just feels like they're floating around or something. I don't know. It just feels like they're connected and they're kind of around. So for me, it's very peaceful. Yeah, I think the world, you just see things differently. You see people differently. You see relationships and goals differently. It's just so many different things. And I think when you get to a place, you can eventually appreciate happier moments.
Yeah.
More than you did before, because you also realize like how fleeting things can be. But I do think it takes sometimes to get to that and actually be able to sit back and appreciate that, because grief would kind of cloud all of those things.
100%.
For sure.
So do you feel like you had to like hyper fixate on something, or like something you became like, I don't know, like obsessed with to make sense of the loss?
I feel like definitely for my sister, because it was my sister, and yeah, she, you know, she passed away young, and I was like, there's just no way that this makes sense. And I don't think that ever will make sense to me. Like, I'll never think that was fair or okay that she's not here. But I think for sure I was like, there has to be something that like, you know, maybe if I live through her, I show, do something. Like, I got hyperfixated on, like, maybe I should do something for, like, lupus. Or maybe, like, I'll do something in her honor. Or, like, start a company with her name. Or, like, do different things. And I definitely got hyperfixated on, like, trying to make something happen. But, like, not in any way that I felt, like, connected to.
Yeah.
Or, like, passionate about separately, other than, like, my sister has to live on because there has to be a reason why this happened. And, like, I have to make her live on through XYZ. I think beyond that, but, like, nothing that I was doing I felt like I was personally passionate about. It's just, like, I was just in the chaos of loss and sadness and, like, disbelief that I wanted to find a space where it could make sense. And I think, you know, that can feel helpful sometimes, but I think I realized fairly quickly that, one, this is just a really shitty thing to happen. And after losing my dad and my sister, I was like, this isn't making it better for me personally. And it just kind of started with the overwhelm of like death dates and death, you know, death anniversaries and birthdays and holidays and that kind of overwhelm. So I think for a second it did help me, and sometimes you kind of need that focus. But I did realize fairly-ish quickly that like that wasn't going to be something that I would be doing. But I definitely think it helps in the moment, because sometimes you just need to think about something other than whatever the heck you're feeling at the time. But did you experience anything like that?
Yeah, I think like similar with you, I had this like occurring thought of like, I have to do something to make his death memorable or to justify all of this. And I think like very much after the loss, immediately I was like, I've got to like I've got to start like a foundation, and I've got to like plant trees in his honor, and I've got to do all this stuff. And it's because I had never gone through this before, so I also didn't know. And I was like, watched too many movies and TV thinking that's what you have to do, because that's what they do in the movies. They like have this big thing in someone's honor. And I think like when I lost my dad, it was 2020, and that was just like a bleak time for everybody. And so I think along with that, with those two things compounded, along with like I'm at home every day isolated, it's like you had to give myself something to hope in. So a lot like you, I think like that was something helpful at the beginning. Now that it's been 4 years, and none of those things I really went through with, we did for my father's funeral, we like asked people instead of flowers to like make a donation to the American Diabetes Association, because like I didn't know what I was going to do with a whole bunch of flowers. Like I was like, I'd rather just donate the money to something else. And it wasn't until like this year that something like clicked in me, and I talked to my brother and sister about this, and we're going to get into like Kindle's nerdy land. So I play Dungeons and Dragons with my siblings every week.
This is involving Dungeons. I was going to say, are we going to bring up Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, we are. The Dungeons and Dragons community is here. And the only
Kindle.
Yeah, it's me. I'm the rep. The only reason we all knew how to play was because our dad taught us. He had like the old books, and he used to play when he was younger. And it was when I think I was in college. My brother and sister were a little bit older, but he wanted to play with us. He wanted to teach us how to play. And I think at the time I was like, oh, it's my dad and his nerdy game, like rolled my eyes. But when we started our weekly like game night, I was like, you know, this makes my brother and sister happy. It reminds me of like my father. And I think like just the aspects of playing D&D, it's very imaginary, and you get to create this world that isn't the reality you're living in. So I think that really helped a lot of us, my siblings and I, heal through that regard. But like bring that all around, it didn't occur to me until this year. I was like, there's so much benefit from playing Dungeons and Dragons. Like you find a community, you're being creative, you're having to think strategically about things. And I was like, you know, maybe that's what we do. Maybe we find other D&D players, and like once a year we have this event and we raise money to go to a kid who can't afford their insulin, because that's, you know, insulin affordability is a whole nother topic. But I was like, I think that's something actually like I believe in and my heart was in. And like, I know that's where my dad's heart is in. And it's a joyful thing to share and connect with others. But it wasn't necessarily, I think, like people's traditional, like starting a foundation or starting a college scholarship for somebody. It had to find me, I guess, like the purpose of doing something in someone's honor. It had to come to me in its own time.
I think that's a great like mirror of like hobby and interest. I think,
yeah,
kind of leads into our next topic is like, do you think it could be a negative thing to focus your life on grief and like finding your purpose, like in that grief specifically?
Yeah, I think that's such a... It's a good question, but it's also a complicated question. And that like there's some people who focus their whole life on grief, and you can just like, I feel really bad for them. I feel like they're stuck, and like it's how do you get out of that? How do you get out of that like dark hole? And like, who am I to tell anybody like how to like heal from that? You know, like I think what I did was use it as a catalyst, as a way to like, like my sister went and got her master's very shortly after my dad passed, and she was like, because why not, like when else am I ever gonna do this, like life is short. I'm now realizing that in true time, and it made me think. I was like, oh yeah, like why not try and pursue something. And I think like it's something like that where it's like all of a sudden being in grief and experiencing loss became a driver to do the things that always put off, and are like, oh, I'll do that when I'm older, I'll do that later. And now it's like, no, I have to do this now, because I don't know how much time I have, and I don't want to leave this burden or, you know, unfulfilled bucket list to someone behind to have to like, you know, do everything for my loss. And now it's like trying to emphasize that, I suppose. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, like, kind of the route that you went with grief and focus. And I think, you know, and like you mentioned, like foundations and stuff. And I do think that sometimes, you know, I think so many great things have happened in people's honor and in people's name, you know, and I think sometimes, especially I think like when it's, I'd say like very shocking, it could be like murder, suicide, you know, like
for sure,
just very shocking ways of death and that I don't have experience with. I think sometimes you may even need to focus your attention to figure out a purpose or like something good comes out of the bad. And I have seen so much good come out of it. And I have seen like interviews and things where people say like, I did find my purpose through this and I found other skills and I've built it into something that also I feel passionate about and done so much. And I think that's so amazing, you know, and I think it's always great to honor the people that you love. I think what's hard sometimes is like, for example, when I was trying to like, I think I was trying to create a blog and I was trying to create like a business in her name or something, like it's very much like I'm trying to do that for her and not for me, that I felt like that disconnect that I was like, I can't continue this because like I don't actually, it's not something I actually personally want to do. I just want to do it in her honor. Like my sister wanted to open a restaurant and she had all these ideas and I found like recipes in her phone and stuff like that. And while I like doing those things and kind of doing some things in her honor, like on a personal level, like I don't think I'd ever own a restaurant because I have worked at like a juice shop in my life and people can be horrible. And it was like shortly after my sister passed away. So like when people are being mean to me, I just like had need to like get back into the workforce. And like, I just want to be like, do you know my sister died? Like you're yelling to me about bananas and my sister just died. Like and my dad is also dead. Like I was so close to saying that so many times. And it's just really the things where it's like, you know, how you spend your life is really so important, you know, because it's, you realize like especially people pass away quickly and, you know, don't get to live out so many different things. It's like you realize that your life is really important. Yeah. Even with like death adversity and stuff, I realized so many times like I also have to figure out like what makes me feel good, what makes me feel alive, and where do I find purpose. And I think so many people do so many great things in people's name, and again, can't speak on different types of losses that really you might need that, you know, to make sense of anything at all. And but I realized for me, you know, I think sometimes you get lost in it and just feel like you should be doing that to make sense where you don't, you're never going to make sense of it, you know. And I wasn't ever planning to like do a foundation or do something like that where, you know, people are doing great things. So I think sometimes you need it to focus on something to do. I think sometimes also, though, it can make you not focus on your own life and just like live about them and live about their death, which I think that part can be a little hard because unless you find your purpose in that and new joys, that, you know, that could be like the tricky part. And so I think it's like kind of a fine line. And I think for it can be a very personal thing. But I realized, ironically, I feel like I found a lot of purpose in the feeling of being in grief. But I think we'll talk a little bit more a little bit later. But I think it is a fine line. And sometimes you just have to figure out like what you're comfortable with, because again, it's your life. So like if you're fine just like living for someone else's life in their honor, and you know that's like not what necessarily fulfills you personally, but like that all that matters is that you want to honor them, like that's your life. You want to do that and that you then like do that, you know. So I think for everyone it's a little personal. I always like to say like there's no timeline or right way, but I feel like what I realized is like do your own self-check-in. Like, what feels right to you? Like, sometimes you have to just check yourself and, like, should I be in a different place? Or should this be, you know, I think it, yeah, like we said, grief is so, it's just very complex. So it's like, sometimes you have to just do your own check-ins. Like, am I okay with this? Am I happy with this? Should I be, you know, all these different things. Like, you need to decide that on your own. And I think it can be sometimes a negative thing, but also it could be a very positive thing. So it just depends on the person.
Yeah. And I think that's like maybe what's different about this podcast in a sense is that in a way we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the people that we lost. And we have gone through our own hardships and like exploring that and trying to figure out like what is the meaning of all this. And yet we're talking about this podcast through our own experience and like how this has affected our lives. And like you and I talking about like, man, this is a big part of me. And yet I feel like I can't talk about this anywhere. And I think like in maybe some indirect way, and maybe this is just like me being hopeful and wistful in the sense of like, I think like you creating spaces to help other people through the very experiences that you have gone through and like three times and how hard it's been. It's like, in a, to me, like in a weird way, it is like this way to honor your loved ones. And it's like, I know I was telling you the other day, I was like, I'm so proud of you for like channeling this. And it's about you, yes, but it's not really. It's like, we want to help other people feel less alone in all this, because we know what it feels like to be alone. And we know what it feels like to not be able to talk about this and have people understand it. That's like the whole other side of it, is like, you might talk about it, but do other people understand it? So like, I think that like weaves in easily to like, has the purpose of all this, like, has that changed since grieving?
Yeah, I mean, it has completely. I don't know that like I really felt like, oh, this is my purpose before grief, because I was just kind of like trying things, and you know, I was just being creative and talking to people and doing all these things. And I definitely think it has, like, I have found purpose, but I also think I needed time to be in this space, because I think I mentioned last episode, is it might have been last or the first one, but like after my dad passed away, my sister had before that been in a coma, and then she was doing better. She wasn't exactly the same, but she was doing better. I still had my sister, so I was like very hopeful, and I remember thinking like, maybe this will be like, I'll have purpose in like having dealt with my sister in the hospital for 3.5 months in a coma, like, you know, my dad passing away and learning like all these things. Like, I so positive. I'm like, I was very much like, what can I share about this? What can I do? I was so positive about it. And then my sister passed away, and then my mom passed away, and that all went to shit. And I definitely didn't feel those things any at all. Like, I didn't feel like I'm going to teach somebody anything. I was like, I don't care, you know? And I think I was like very much like ready for to feel some type of purpose from all of that, but I wasn't personally ready to actually deal with that. And also I wasn't prepared for like the other shit to happen. So I think now, 6 years later, or like anyone's passed away, I finally feel like at peace and to create the space. And like, it's kind of ironic that I feel like I was looking for those spaces to finally be able to talk about it, because I realized like they're such a big part of me and they're not my day to day, and new people I meet don't know them, and there's so much that like is missing because they're not there anymore. Yeah. And I was like, I finally feel ready to like talk about it, and talk about it in not a very surface level way, like just real. And that's when I created my dinner party table. And ironically, I feel like because I've also taken that time to have space, it's also been able to create space for other people that are much closer to it.
Yeah.
And but then also I feel like to share my experiences with like being a little farther away from it, and then like you as well being a little far away from it, that we can like speak on it in a way that obviously still hurts. Like I cried yesterday in a party, and I was telling them, you know, like I feel like sharing so many things, I think also when people feel pressure of just stuff of like, you should be better in a certain time or you shouldn't feel sad. And I think being able to share my perspective and showing kind of the things that I have learned from the experience, I think has been very helpful to people in the group.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't what I was expecting to happen in our little dinner party, because I was expecting it to just be a place to like talk about stuff. And I do get to talk about stuff and in grief things and feelings and all that stuff, but I wasn't expecting it to kind of take shape in the way that it has. And I think I had been thinking about it already in the sense of like, I do want to be able to fix the kind of gap between people that are grieving and people that don't, and just kind of the disconnect that happened between friendships and family because they just don't get it. I was already thinking that, and I was already thinking like, I have learned so much, I've changed so much, and I've been in a very reflective state of mind and place in my life. So I think joining the dinner party and then, you know, actually creating the table that I wanted actually was like very affirming, which also led to us creating the podcast that I was already kind of thinking of and thinking in different ways, but it kind of fell together when I felt like we both were in that place. I feel like we both kind of had very similar perspectives, but also different perspective, which I think is good to have for our podcast. But also I think we were both, I remember reading in your message that you're like in a place to talk about it, but also help other people. And that's also how I was feeling. And I think that is a unique place to be, where it's like when you're trying, if you want to be helping people too soon, like when I tried after my dad passed away, it's like, it's too much, you know, you're hurting, you're in too much pain. And
yeah,
it's not necessarily a place that you should be. You should be focusing on your healing. And I learned that through that, where I think like when you have time, you can figure out like, okay, now there is something. I feel like I hate saying like something good came out of right. that situation.
It feels weird.
it doesn't feel good to say. I don't know that's even the right way to say, but like, I would say more like there has to be some good that comes out of all of that. There has to be some purpose that you find from it. There has to be good things that you make from that happening, because otherwise sometimes it's like you could just be really freaking sad about it. Like when I think about it, even, I mean, we just had like little talks, like even our dinner party, where I'm just like, just mentioning Mrs. Gons, when I was like, I already get like that pain in my chest, like the feeling like I'm gonna cry, and it's just like that slap, like, oh my god, my sister is gone, and that really sucks, and that feeling always makes me want to cry. Like I can feel it already, like just saying it, because it does. Yeah. It's always gonna suck, and I think staying in that definitely is not a good place to be. So I think kind of focusing that, like, I have to have good things come from this, and kind of the affirmation of just like, people telling me that it's been a great space and it's been helpful, that really also has been an extra push of like, what I've been thinking is actually true. And even a space that I wasn't looking to be, I'd say like a leader in our little group, I was just trying to have a place to talk that felt very neutral and safe, has kind of just, yeah, confirmed all those things where it's like, oh no, this is a good place to be, and there is a need for people to talk about this and share their experiences and what they learn and help people feel less alone. Because yeah, when you feel alone in your grief, it's like the worst feeling in the world. Where, you know, it's like you're sad, and then it's like you have no one to talk to about it, and you have, you know, you're not sure what you're supposed to feel, and people tell you you're supposed to feel something way quicker and you're still okay, and it's none of that's true. So hopefully through these podcasts and like us sharing our stories and our experiences, that it does become a place for people to feel seen and heard, and they can relate. And then that also hopefully, like, I'd love like for people to share their stories or ask those questions, or, you know, make it very interactive, because I think that would be fun. But yeah, I think purpose has changed. Purpose has been found, but it has been like a long journey to get there.
For sure.
And like even Revenship, like we just started this podcast, and but I think it was a very quick thing, like, oh, we both agree like this is needed. And mm-hmm. like every time we have our dinner party, it just is reaffirms that like this is needed in a bigger scale than just our group and with each other. Like we need to have these like better resources for everyone. But how have you felt like your purpose has changed?
I'll start with like an anecdote that it's funny because like I'm going to tell this story, and I forgot about this story even happening until like just recently. And it makes me like a little teary eyed to think of this story, because it's funny. It's like when you lose somebody, there's things you're going to forget. And that's like the scariest, saddest thing. But then it comes back up and you're like, I can't believe I forgot that. I remember when I was about to go to college and you're having to decide like what major you're going to do and which track of education you're going to pick. And I was like so wound up about like what is going to be successful, like what is going to be a career I'm going to pick that's going to sustain me through life, because I was just always worried about that. And I also just wanted my dad to feel proud of me in whatever I did. So I'm thinking I'm having to, like, I don't know, one day become a politician or become a lawyer or a doctor, you know, like these big careers that, like, obviously a lot of parents would be super proud of if their child became that. And I'm thinking, like, how am I going to do that? Like, what way am I going to go? And, like, I remember driving back from a college visit, and my dad said, you know, I'm never going to determine your success on how much money you make. He's like, the way I see success is how many lives you're going to touch and how many lives you're going to change. At the time, like, 18-year-old Kendall, like, kind of just, like, throw that behind me. I was like, sure, whatever. That's so cheesy. Although now, in retrospect, I'm like, yeah, that is a type of determinant of success that I aspire to, is just trying to leave a positive impact around me. And I think that was where my purpose kind of changed, is like at a very different mindset before my father passed. And then since then, like, it's a very different view on the world, and a lot of my relationships have changed. I think also, like, fortunately, I think I'm like one of the rare and lucky ones in that I had a friend who had lost her father a couple years prior, and I'm going through my father's illness, and it's, you kind of just like begin to see the writing on the wall. You don't want to ever acknowledge it and admit that might be happening, but you're like, maybe this might be a reality of losing someone I really love. And I was so lucky to have her in my life, especially it felt very like serendipitous that we came across each other. And she was able to like tell me, like, expect this, like, know that this is going to happen. You might want to prepare for that. You might want to start getting these things together. And just as like a sounding board, like, she let me talk all night long and cry. And I'm sure a lot of my problems brought up a lot of her own grief herself. And yet I think she even found it impactful for her and her grief to help me through mine. And there's, I mean, you could read grief books, you can watch movies, and they're helpful, but there's no like grief coach to tell you, like, I'm going to help make it better for you. And it's like a journey you have to go through yourself. And I felt very blessed that I got to go along on that journey with someone who knew exactly what it was like and could feel for me on a level that not a lot of my friends could understand, and nor could I expect them to understand. They've never lost a parent. And so being that she had, I was like, that's, it's a purpose I want to give onto others. It's kind of like a pay it forward. I hope that in a way, like, the time and love she poured into me in like the worst time of my life, I hope I can do that to somebody else, because I feel like that's the only way grievers can make it through this, is like other more quote unquote experienced grievers can kind of show them the path and be like, you're not alone in this. It feels so lonely, but you have people who get it and want to be there for you. Does that all make sense? I feel like that was a lot.
No, and it's kind of funny because it reminded me like the one piece about your dad saying like finding purpose in like as long as you're happy with your job. It's funny because I just saw like a Facebook member, it was like my dad had commented like, you're gonna be a multimillionaire, like, you're so, but it was really in a way like he just always thought like I was so talented. He always just thought I was the best, and he just, you know, it's you appreciate like those compliments and stuff like that you don't think like you need until like, oh my god, like I don't get those all the time, you know, and you're like, oh, I did really need that for my own mental health and my sanity. And but it was just funny because and it wasn't just like, oh, you're gonna be rich, but it was just like he always believed in like everything I did, and like you're talented and you're gonna be great. Aww. But it's just funny because like it was a different message, but kind of like the same, you know, like,
yeah,
supporting you, but in a you know, he was just saying like he knows that I'll be successful.
Yeah. And he was proud of you. Like he like so proud and believed you could do anything, and like you were his superhero type of way.
Yeah. So just like, it's just funny because like the different delivery, but kind of the same, but different. And it kind of goes into, you know, from that is like, what have you learned about yourself and like what you care about like through grief? Because like purpose is kind of all so many different things, but like what have you learned about yourself through that?
I think I'm way stronger than I ever thought I was. I don't think I would ever have learned that of what I could possibly do and carry if I hadn't gone through this experience and like still doing. And sometimes I have to step back when I'm really like beating myself up. I've got to be like, but you are so incredibly strong to be dealing with all this in this world. Like, this world is crazy right now. And then to be dealing with something so personal and emotional on top of that. And I think also, like, prior to my father's passing, like, I would get angry at every little thing. Like, I was very type A. Like, my whole view of life was, like, I guess a little bit more superficial than it is now. And now I feel like I'm way more laid back. I'm way more understanding and gracious with people. Like, I take the time to want to figure out, like, I just don't fall into anger as much anymore with other people. Like, I'm like, there surely has to be a reason. And who knows, they might be going through like the same thing I am, and they just can't just can't feel like they can talk about it. Like you and you're talking about working in food service and someone's yelling at you about bananas. That was probably like me before, because like that would have set me off. But like me now, I'm like nice to every waiter because I know it's hard. And I'm like, I've been there. I get it. I think like the mentality is now is like, is it really life and death? Because I've had to make those decisions that were really life and death. And to figure out that 99% of the problems are not that big in comparison to like having to take care of someone or like make medical decisions for them, or what are you going to do with, you know, all their stuff after they pass? It's like, I've had to make life and death decisions. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things in life that are not life and death decisions.
That's so true. You know, I think it's crazy like how much you do learn about yourself and like the things that matter. And I think even in like a small scale of stuff of like, I used to always think like, I like my mom, my sister, my dad, like they're very complimentary. I'm not good at giving compliments. I'm trying to be better at it, but like, I'm definitely not the person that gives out a ton of compliments. But I always said like, oh, I'm not good with compliments. But it's like, when you're not getting it from the people that just give it to you so freely, you're like, no, I did actually really enjoy them, you know? And also from them specifically, because it's like, they knew you to give you the compliments that matter. It's not just like some random guy saying you're beautiful or something, you know, it's not, it's just like, you know, we're like, okay, you know, but it's like people that know you that can say something that like actually feels good. Like, you know, like you actually know what I've been doing to feel that, or like to say that. It's a compliment that has weight to it, because you're like, it actually means something. And we were talking about that last night, and like, you made me cry with like what you were saying, because I felt like it was very much like I said, is like, you don't realize, just like sometimes you think like, do people really know me anymore, you know? Like, do people know what to compliment you, or like even see what you put into other people and like the work you did to yourself? And like sometimes it feels like people don't see that, or like how much goes into that. So it's like, I remember, like, oh, I'm going to cry again. But, like,
okay. That's what this was for.
and it was one of those things where it's, like, it just hit, like, oh, my God. Like, sometimes you don't think about, like, just, like, how much you mean that, and, like, how, or, like, how much you need that, like, and just, like, that feeling of, like, oh, there's people around that get you. And it's weird because, like, we haven't known each other that long, but I feel like we've talked about so many deep things.
Yeah.
And then every time we talk, it's, like, for hours. So I feel like it's, like, you get to know each other so quickly on a deep level, because of your bonding over deep things, you know? And so, and like, not many people even know like that I'm that like hosting the dinner party stuff, or really what are the experiences about. And so like, you know, it's so, it's like, people don't really know what's going on with so many things. And it's like, sometimes you don't realize just like you need, it's like, you just need people to get like what you're doing or feel appreciated. Cause it's like, I feel like because also, when you've lost so much, you also realize like how important people are, and like just like doing good things. And like, even I'm saying like, I want to be the person again that like will pick you up from the airport or drop you off, because it's just like a nice thing. And people like, you know, Uber makes everything so just, it's like, it's nice, it's very convenient, but also it's like, it's not going to kill me to like pick someone up from the airport. And it's a nice thing. And you know, like, I like being picked up from the airport. It's a nice thing when that, you know, when it happens. And when you have people that will do that. And so it's not like this crazy notion that I feel like people, it's like the first thing that people think about when someone asks you to pick up the airport is like the inconvenience. Like, oh my God, I can't believe they even asked me for that. It's like, that's the first thought that comes in people's minds now, because like Uber exists, because Lyft exists, you know, like the first thing is like, oh, how is this going to inconvenience me? Yeah. And like, that shouldn't be the first thing that you think of. And I think now it's like, you realize just like how the, you know, creating these deep bonds and creating these connections and being there for people, and how lonely and horrible it feels going through loss and feeling like you don't have that support, like seeing all those things. It's like, I've been doing so many things in those areas, and just to be a better person and to, you know, appreciate people and feel like I'm putting more into my friendships and doing more things. And it's just crazy, because you're like, it's nice when like there's people around that actually can see that, and like you talk to them about it. And especially when you feel like the people that would notice are no longer here, it's like, it's a really weird thing. And it's just like, it's just my text when you sent that too. And I was just like, oh, I'm crying. Because it's just like one of those deep things where you're like, you know, like sometimes you just need people to see you and to see what you're doing and what you're putting out, because it can be exhausting to just, you know, like you're doing so much and it's like you don't think anyone notices. And I think it's the same thing when people always say like, oh, you're so strong. And it's like, yes. And I think part of it is like, I think going through grief, you have to step back and give yourself credit for like getting through it and making huge steps and living and still being a nice person. Cause I know grief can turn a lot of people to not nice people.
Yeah.
You know, it can make people lose faith in the world. It can make people hate everything and everyone. And I totally get that, cause I've felt those things. And
yeah, I've been there too.
Yeah. I felt things where like, fuck everyone and fuck everything. And what does it matter? And who cares about your fucking bananas? You know, like so many different things, you know, where you just like, I've definitely felt that, but you know, and sometimes you just want to be like, I don't want to be the strong person. I just want to be the person that like is a
taken care of.
Yeah. And I think that's harder to find in this day and age in general. I think we're going to talk about dating in another episode. That's going to be a different one. But, you know, I think it's just one of those things where it's like, there's so much going on. And I think, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, but I just think like there's just so much to what you're see things and what you appreciate is different.
Yeah.
With grief. And I don't know. It's nice to feel like with making steps, I feel like I finally find it like in this, things feel like they're just kind of coming together, which I feel like I have not felt that since like before people have passed away. Like, yeah. I don't think I felt that kind of. And so that's nice to feel.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think like particularly like picking someone up from the airport, there's like an unconditional love there, and yes. it's such a small favor just to ask. It's not like in today's day and age it seems like such a big thing, but it shouldn't be. And I think it's like those are the tiny moments and memories like people will remember of like when you had that 30-minute conversation and coming from the airport or going to the airport. Yeah. And it means a lot to the person, you know? Like, I've thought so many times, I was like, there's no one to pick me up from the airport. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of sad. And what it really is, I think, attributed to is like, I don't feel unconditionally loved. Like,
yeah.
No, now I feel like I'm a burden. Whereas, like, you know, if my dad was still alive, he wouldn't even blink. He would do it.
Yeah.
And like, I'm saying this in an extreme, like, you know, example.
But I get
like,
that. I get yeah. that feeling where you just feel like there's no one that just loves me. Like,
yeah.
That's just going to do everything for me. Like, those people are gone and that sucks. Like, and it's something so small, but it's like, I can depend on that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and like, there's that through line of like, you know, and there's some people out there who don't have good parents and they don't feel that. And, you know, not to make them feel like isolated or different, but when you have a good parent and they do unconditionally love you, like that's not a doubt in your mind. Like that's always there. And then when they're gone, you're like, shit, like I don't have that security anymore. I don't have like that knowledge of knowing that I'm unconditionally loved by somebody.
Yeah. And it's like, it says, you say it's small, but it's like, it's not small. That feeling. And it's the feeling that it gives you when someone just is like, I got you, I'll pick you up. And
yeah. So, like, have you found your purpose now, or are you like trying to make steps to find it currently?
I feel like I have, and I feel like a lot of it is like through this podcast and just future things,
yeah,
that I want to do by building the community. Because even like last night, it was just through the dinner party, like not sharing what anyone said, but like just reaffirm like people need the resource and people need that community, and how just it's helpful to have these kind of spaces. People are looking for them so much sooner than I did. And not that I don't think I would be ready before until now. Like, I really do think like now is when I feel at a place to do that. But I do think like I said, I feel like it's all coming together now. And I feel like literally like we both signed up around the same time, we ended up in the first like training, and when you joined mine, like yours literally said this, like you are ready to speak about it but also like want to help people. And I feel like that was very much that, even just like in your sign up, like stood out to me, because like I felt like, oh, that's also what I'm feeling. And very much turned into that, like, in the group as well. Well, I feel like we kind of have those different, like, more, like, longer-term perspectives and are in a different phase of grief. But at the same time, like, you can also, like, in that different phase, but also feel all the things. So it's not like you're, like, gone for feeling sad or crying about them or anything like that. But I think we're kind of both in this space, like, we can help people through our stories and our experiences. And I just think there's just so much good that can be done, because we know how bad it feels to just feel alone, lost, and just no idea what to think, no idea, like, just, yeah. I mean, I think it's sad when you hate the world and you hate everything. And sometimes you need to feel that, but you don't want to feel that forever. But you can also easily feel that forever because of just how bad it feels and how unfair it feels. So I think for me, I feel like all these things have been coming together where I do feel like I found my purpose, and not any way saying I'm grateful, like, nowhere ever be grateful for them being gone or like any good has come from that, but I'm choosing to make good things come from it.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to word it, because there's nothing good from them being gone, but I will choose to bring good into the world and do good things with that, you know, through my experience. What about you? Do you feel like you've found your purpose or you're moving towards it? Or
I think, you know, I had a friend who was there pre-grief and immediately post-loss who shared her experience with me and just made sure that I was eating and that I was getting out of the house and, you know, giving me a place to go to talk about grief and death and dying and all the anxiety around that when I had no one else to talk to. And I won't ever forget that, because it was important to have just that channel, that just like a person willing to have that conversation with me and like the questions you have and like everything is now different. And I think like I have now entered that phase that she must have been in at that time to like you said, make good of this. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to keep like your loss and your grief to yourself. And I couldn't process my grief without talking about it. And even just in the past couple months of being a part of the support group, like, I've learned so much about my own grief, and I've been experiencing it for 4 years. And I'm like, wow, how am I still learning new things about this? This is kind of crazy that I've been living with this thing in my life for 4 years. It's changed me fundamentally. And yet there's still new things that I'm learning about it and identifying things with other people. And I think it's so important. Like, you just created a space for people to talk. And like, even that alone, I've seen how impactful that's been for the people within the group and how much they appreciate you just like creating the Zoom link so they can come into. And I think, but like on a more intimate level, like, you know, like, I know you didn't choose to like be camp counselor, but like, you're divulging so much of like your own personal experience and your own vulnerabilities as a showcase of like, I have shared mine and it's okay for you to share your own grief back. Like, no one's going to think that's weird in this space. Cause you know, in so many other spaces, you do feel weird, like even imposing, like even in like inferring that you've lost somebody. Like, you know, I know like if there's like quiet times in the grief, like you'll chime in and qualify how that person is feeling or relate to them and be like, I've been there too. Cause like, I'm sure every experience with grief, you've been there.
Yeah, there's one thing where I sometimes I'm like, I hate that related to three people's responses, but it's okay. I have felt like I've helped myself process it, but also I feel like I've also found purpose, like, okay, if I can make people feel like just seen through my experiences and feel more open to speak about it because I'm speaking about it, and I'll go first and share the horrible experience that I went through, and it gives other people, you know, the confidence to also share their story. And it's definitely always, you know, it's always scary going to new space and like sharing the amount of things that people share to each other in these spaces and just like how deep it is, just kind of how vulnerable. It's definitely hard, you know. We're not taught to like do that in everyday spaces, and I don't think it's really welcome in so many spaces. And then to just go into something and then find that and then you're like, is this a place that I could actually do that without judgment, without people sharing it or without anything? And I'm glad that it's become that space. It's not what I was thinking when I started it, but I'm glad that it kind of had, like, how I was telling my experience, but like my experience has helped people by just like, I'm in a place that I can share it. And then if it opens up people to like, they can get it. But it is funny, sad that like, sometimes I'm like, wow, I relate to like everyone that everyone said about everything, because just too much loss. But I'm glad that I've seen like, it's been helpful to other people. And it's also helpful. It's cathartic to like get it out and to speak about it. You know, I think you hold it in so much because you're not like in spaces to really talk about it. And, or just even when you talk about it, I think in other spaces is like, it's hard because so many times you just can cry like about it. And it's hard when you're like, you are trying to share it in a space, but you don't want to cry. And having that limit of what you share and how intensely you share, because you don't want to cry in front of someone and make them uncomfortable, really limits that interaction and what you share. Because then you're kind of coming out with like, your like speech, your practice speech of what you say and how you say it, instead of being honest, really sharing what you feel. Because it's like, you want the person to feel comfortable in that situation. You're thinking about their feelings, and it's like, why do we do that so much when it's like, I lost people. Like, why? I'm the one that went through this. Like, why am I worrying about people dying on me, making you uncomfortable? It makes me uncomfortable. Like, you deal with, like, you live with it. You have to keep going through every day and trying to find meaning in everyone, like your parents dying, your sister dying. Like, why are we trained so much to worry about how you feel about it? It's like, how I feel is like, is very shitty, and it's hard, and I shouldn't have to cater my responses or what I share. Because, it might make me cry, because you know what? It is sad, and it will always be sad. And that's just, like, a crazy thing. But, it's... But we always like to end everything with a positive challenge, something for people to do. And for this week, since we are talking about purpose and finding your purpose and what that means, I think a good one would be to have a self-check-in with yourself. About like, are you living in your purpose? Are you finding your purpose? Is it changing with you? Because I think allowing your purpose to change as you change is also really important. Like, we've talked about like who we were before and who we're after is like so different that it's like everything can change, and what your purpose and what you even find purpose in can really change in that too. So I think having like a check-in of yourself of like, what actually matters to you, and like, where do you find purpose, and what are you doing? I think only you can have that. Only you can check yourself on that, really, you know, because only you can know what that feels like. But I think that's a good thing to do, is like, for yourself, it's always good to kind of reconnect. Like, where do you find your purpose?
Yeah. And as always, if you're looking for resources, we'll include them in the show notes. So be sure to check those out. And we have new episodes every Tuesday. So subscribe, review. We're excited to have these conversations with you.
And how you can join the club. Not literally, hopefully you haven't. We always hope that you're listening to just learn and maybe support a friend. I always say, like, if you can relate, like, I'm sorry that you can relate, but I also hope, you know, that this is a good space for you. But you can find us on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube under Two Girls with Grief Pod. We'll also link that in the show notes. And then please email us with like your challenge and like kind of your check-in, or even any questions, like any questions you have about grief or what you're thinking or what you're feeling. You can email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. That'd also be in the show notes.
And as a reminder, grief looks very different for everybody. So if nothing that we said resonates with you today, doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. Do what you need to do for you in the moment, for where you're at. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.